You may be seated today. Great to have you in this worship experience. I feel the presence of God. How many believe that God is good today? He's for us, not against us. I believe that. And this month for our community is a transition month with universities here in our city and then, of course, our high schools. So many are transitioning and taking their next steps. And so this month, every year, we like to talk about the next steps that we have in our church and just the overarching idea of moving forward in our life and what that means. And next steps are inevitable. Every one of us in this room and online has to do it. And we have to move forward in our faith and in our life. And really those next steps signify the chapters of our life and maybe different moves or different seasons. But I believe that God is with us through all of it. And because there's going to be different chapters, you and I have the chance to embrace the idea that we can do life with a team. Everyone say team. Now today in this message, I want to preach a thought entitled team. And I'm going to interchange the word team for the body of Christ, or what we call the church. You and I are a part of the church. Now, if you haven't received Jesus today in this room and online, receive Jesus today. Today is your day. But I believe life is better together and we're stronger together. And I believe God has intended for us to all be a part of a team where all of us have a part to play and all of us can move forward in our faith. Amen. So, Father, I thank you for this great worship experience. I thank you for your presence in this place. Lord, we ask for the comfort of the Holy Spirit for every family in our nation where this weekend is a reminder of a loss in their life. Bless my friend's family, the Hershey family. Lord, touch them today. I thank you, Lord, for moving in our midst and moving in our life. I thank you for moving in this place that all of us would lay down resistance, distractions, and all of us would receive freely today from your presence. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name, everyone said. Amen. If you have your Bibles, please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want to read verse 12 and 13. Every weekend, I like to preach from about 2 to 4 verses and break them down to make them very palatable for you and me, that we can practice this and not overload you with information. And today, I pray that I inspire you to be a part of the team of Jesus in what Jesus is doing. Amen. Now, here's what the Apostle Paul said to this ancient church of Corinth, a thriving metropolis city at that time. And he says this: the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews and some are Gentiles. Some are slaves and some are free. But we all have been baptized into one body by one Spirit. Notice this: and we all share the same Spirit. Now, some of this language is similar to last week's message from Romans chapter 12, how we're all individually made, but when we come together in Christ, we're all one big family. And for this message, I want to talk about that we're all one team. And all of us make up one whole body. I love what Helen Keller said: alone we can do little, and together we can do so much. I think about today, as we celebrate the fallen soldiers of our country, I think this story is needed to be shared to remind of the generation that's older than me and the one that's younger than me some of the steps it's taken to bring us to this point and to maintain our freedom. June 6th, 1944, after almost a year of planning for this attack, a team of three nations together, the Allied forces of the United States, Great Britain, and France, stormed the beach of Normandy. Their act made this beach world-renowned and famous for the rest of time. Today, there is three memorials on that beach, one for each nation that attacked it that day. They were sorely undermanned in terms of the idea of where the Germans were perched on an elevated level shooting down at them, that many of the men from all three nations died even before one foot touched the beach. And yet they kept coming in droves and in waves. And many of them today we are honoring their sacrifice. And through that event, which they ended up winning that battle, and other events, the war turned with the help of the Russians, and a tyrant and tyranny was defeated of atrocious evil that killed millions of innocent people. We see the power of a team. When a different people, even in this story, different languages, different cultures, different histories come together, band together for a cause greater than themselves, great things can happen. I think about what Jesus has for you and me. The power of a team, being a part of his family, the body of Christ. What a privilege that is. I hope to articulate that here in the next few moments. If you think about it, for our culture here, that as children we're taught that being a part of a team is better than being alone. For many of you, you were raised on Barney. Remember Barney? He coined the phrase, caring is... That was weak. Caring is... Many of you parents let your kids just sit in front of the TV and learn from Barney for hours at a time. It's okay. We do iPads today. But seriously, stay with me for a moment. I want you to see this dichotomy. From kindergarten on, we're taught in school. Then we have Little League sports. Then we have the Boy Scouts, the Girl Scouts. We have band. We have science Olympiads and other venues that teach our children that being a part of a team is better than being alone. We're taught this over and over and over again. It's instilled into us. Sports, for example, teach us to honor a coach, share with teammates, and work together for a common goal. We know these lessons, we receive them, but something happens to us as we leave the innocence of a child and we get older in life. It seems like that as adults, to be a part of a team is tackled with hurdles. Why is that? I think there's several reasons, but today I want to list just a few, and then I'll break these verses down. I think as adults, you and I are challenged to be a part of a team for a plethora of things, but here are some. One is we think that we are limited, and because we are limited, we would add no value to the team. After all, what can I do? I'm too young. I'm too old. I'm this, I'm that. I don't have any value, and I'm limited, so what would I do on this team? I'm not going to be a part. Another one, even more so than the first, is insecurities. I'm not this, I'm not that, or I am this, or I am that. What could I add? I don't know who I am. Insecurities run amok in all of us, and it's easy for us to cave into insecurities and withdraw instead of being a part of a team, because in truth, internally, in the deep core of us, we believe that maybe we're not as good as we appear. Then here's even the biggest one out of all of them is as an adult, we deal with pride, thinking I'm too good to be a part of a team. I could do it better if I was in charge of the team. If they would let me tell everyone what to do, it'd be a lot better. I know more than them. I'm too good for that. Or who knows what it is, but pride can be another obstacle of adults being a part of a team. Fear is another big one. Fear of the unknown. Fear of failure, fear of being hurt again. Maybe you've been hurt before, especially in church. And so you just have this trepidation about being a part of a team. That's a big one. And because of fear, we have this one too, called self-preservation, preserving ourselves at all costs. Somewhere along the way, we got punched in the heart from that innocent child being taught all those things growing up. And so we believe the lie that says we have to get ours if we're going to get it at all. We believe the idea that if we don't take care of ourselves, no one will. And while that's true in a sense that no one's going to get up and brush your teeth for you, you have to get up and pull your own pants up and get it. That's true. But we almost take it to a fault that if I don't isolate myself and have self-preservation, then I won't make it. And that's a deception. Then we have the past, what we've done, where we've been, who we are, maybe who we feel we are. These things and more are blockades to adults being a part of a team when we know as a child that being a part of a team is better than being alone. Here's the beautiful thing that in verse 12, the Apostle Paul said, just like our body has multiple members, aren't you glad for your pinky toe? Aren't you glad for your big toe, right? Aren't you glad for your thumb? If you didn't have a thumb, how could you hold anything? Aren't you glad for every part of your body? I am, even my bald head. Hallelujah. Kendlin asked me, what happened to your hair, Daddy? I said, it went bye-bye. She said, what color was it? I forget. Amen. But he's saying all of us have different parts of our body, but we're one body. We have a heart, and we know this. But in Jesus, all of us make up individual parts, but we're one team. We're one body. Here's what's amazing about the team of Jesus. I've said this before, so if you heard it, just please lean in and just hear it again. That everyone is accepted at the table on this team. Everyone has a part to play at the table on this team. In fact, it's our weaknesses that attract the power of God to come on us, and that we go forward and we have something to give on this team. This is what's powerful, is that everyone is accepted on this team. Now, if you have a church background, or if you don't, no big deal. But if you do, maybe this was your experience, maybe it wasn't, but this is how it should be. And so I apologize ahead of time, but I want to say this. Every church should model where everyone is accepted, because Jesus accepts everyone right where we are. And he has enough power to change us and make us who he wants us to be. Aren't you glad there shouldn't be a lot of rules to get into church? And if you don't do these rules, you can't even come in the door. If that was the case, I wouldn't even be here. Come on. But Jesus accepts you and I for who we are, and he embraces us, and we're a part of the team. Now think about this for a moment. Sports teams, corporate teams, entertainment teams, all types of teams, educational teams. At some level, you and I have to perform to be a part of that team. And in any of those fields, if we don't have the skill to be a part and to add to it, then chances are we're not going to be a part of that team. And that's not wrong. Like, if you can't play ball, you ain't going to be on the court. Right? I mean, if you can't deliver on the marketing team and some, you know, corporate, you know, thing, then you're not going to be there. That's not wrong. That's a good thing. Thank you for my wife saying right. That's a good thing. Healthy competition is not bad in that arena. But in the body of Christ, we're not accepted on this team because of our skill. We're not accepted on this team because of our behavior. We're not accepted on this team because we have some elite ability. We're accepted on this team because of who Jesus is. And he has made a way for you and I. He died for us while we were sinners. And we're accepted not because of what we have, but because of who he is. As a matter of fact, it's really not our strengths that attract him to us. It's our weaknesses. It's really an upside down kingdom. Aren't you glad for Jesus? Come on, give him a praise break. He deserves it today. We're accepted on this team. Amen. We're accepted on this team. Everyone is someone to Jesus. At City Church, everyone's welcome. No one's perfect. Anything is possible. Because we're accepted on this team, I want to break down verse 13 in two main ways. Even though this may be very concise today to you, the truth is, as adults, we struggle to take these next steps. Because we're a team and we're all united together in one, and Jesus has a place for us, really, it's a team, but it's one team. Everyone say one team. And this models the heart of Jesus and the pattern of Jesus for you and me and what he has for us. Please just lean in on these next two points. Now, we model this at City Church, so I'm going to repeat some of our core values, but I'm doing this just to continue to build on the foundation God has so graciously given to us, because so often in American church, this is not practiced. Notice in verse 13, he says, first, some of us are Jews and some of us are Gentiles. Let's stop there. He's talking about ethnicity and cultural backgrounds. What's powerful is that when you and I come to Jesus, it doesn't matter our cultural backgrounds or ethnicities. All of us in Christ share the same spirit, and we're a part of the same family. Now, here's what's profound about this. Right now in America, there's over 400,000 individual churches in our nation. Two out of three churches are in decline right now as I'm preaching. Less than 5% of those 400 plus thousand churches in America have any type of diversity of different ethnicity or cultural background. Now, please hear me. It's not wrong for churches to not be diverse because some areas are not diverse. It's not wrong to be an all-white church, an all-Hispanic church, an all-African-American church. That's not wrong. Man, we bless those churches. I just believe if there is diversity in a community, that church should seek to be diverse. Because there are still obvious gaps in the body of Christ in America. We're still not coming together. We're still not worshiping together. This is evident by the stats and the proof of the demographic of our churches. And yet Paul said thousands of years ago that this team of Jesus is made up of different cultures and different ethnicities. This is so important because at City Church, we have over 40 nationalities and all ethnicities, and we are reaching for more nations to be represented for the glory of God. Please hear these next few statements. It's so important. At City Church, we celebrate color. At City Church, we see color. Now, I know people have said statements like, I don't see color. And I know where that statement's coming from, and I respect that statement, and I understand the basis of it, and to overcome maybe the obstacles that have been in our nation with different ethnicities. But at City Church, we flip that, and we say we do see color, because it's important that we honor and celebrate our differences and our likenesses. You see, it's important that we see how God made us uniquely beautiful in His sight. That God did make color because God is a colorful God. And so we honor color, we celebrate color, and we worship God together because we're in this place under the Lordship of Jesus. We're one team, we're one family, and this is so powerful because God wants to use the church to model what love is to all people, no matter their background. We also, now, if you have a church background or you don't, that's fine, but if you do, we honor your church background, your heritage. We honor your cultural heritage. We honor your church heritage, your roots. We honor that. We're not here to disrespect that. I'm not here to convert you. I get nervous when churches have the premise of converting people to their church, to their doctrine, to their way. Now, we have boundaries and we have doctrine and we have things. Please go to groups and we disciple people through our groups and you will learn our doctrine and you will learn our boundaries. All that, absolutely, we believe the Bible. But it's not my job to convert you to City Church. That's not right, because City Church isn't perfect. It's my job first to lead me, number one, to lead my wife, number two, to lead my kids, number three, then our church to be more like Jesus. If we're all more like Jesus, our world's going to be better off. If we become more like City Church, maybe, maybe not. But if we're all like Jesus, we're going to be all right. Come on, right? And so we respect the Baptists. We respect the Methodist and the Catholic and the Episcopalian and the Lutheran and the Pentecostal and the Charismatic. Come on. If we're serving Jesus and we're worshiping Jesus, guess what? We are one team and we share of the same spirit. And at City Church, we are to honor that and respect that. I would just ask all of us to let the Holy Spirit add to your faith and move forward one step at a time. God made all of us. All of us are one body on one team. This is loud and clear in the heart of Jesus, meaning we cannot allow racism to divide us. We cannot allow politics to divide us, and this happens far too often right now in our nation. We are the most divided politically than we've ever been in our history. We are polar opposites in our views. And the middle is far and few between. I have political convictions. I vote certain ways. I've had the privilege to have access to high power of political people in this last year, being a part of certain calls for a national move of prayer. And I've been honored to be a part of things. I don't brag about that, but I've been honored to be a part of being in circles that I can't believe I'm in. I don't even know how to even say their names, but I'm there. Hallelujah. And I'm a part of it, and I'm glad about that. But hear me, we cannot let a political pundit or a news affiliate separate you and I from Jesus. We are a family. We are one team despite how we vote. Right. despite how we see things. And if a church is thinking the same, voting the same, looking the same, acting the same, and believing the same on everything, that's not good. It's good for us to be different in some ways. It's good for us to challenge each other in certain ways. We're not here to be a cult. We're here to be a church, to lift up Jesus, to worship Jesus, and to honor Jesus, and to come around what's greater than politics, Jesus. What's greater than the White House? God's house. Come on. What's greater than legislation? It's God's law. And quite frankly, I will not sit back and pretend to think that legislation will change the hearts of men and women. Racism will be healed when the Holy Spirit rushes through the church and the church models Jesus and the church begins to love their brother and their sister and love people like God said to love them. Then the world will see what love really looks like. Let us not divide. And I know we don't do that. I'm not preaching at you. I'm just saying we got to keep this church. We got to honor this. And I'm not going to vomit my political persuasions on you. I use that word. I'm not going to vomit my political persuasions on you. We're not here on a Sunday morning to hear my rant on politics. We're here to lift up Jesus. We're here to be Jesus. We're here to, and really to give Jesus away to as many people as possible because we're one team. Come on, we're one team. And we have different backgrounds. We have different views. But man, the view of God is greater than all of the views. And that's what's going to change everything. I feel good in my soul. We cannot allow differences to divide us. We can't allow ignorance to divide us, and too often the enemy does this. In Bible school, I've told this story before. In Bible school, I learned of a church that had a massive church split because half of the church believed that Adam had a belly button and the other half believed he didn't have a belly button after God created him. If I was the pastor, I would have been tempted to have a boxing glove. No, I'm just kidding. I wouldn't do that. Anyway. Notice the second thing. One team. Jesus. One team. At City Church, we respect and lift up every denomination that lifts up Jesus. And I honor people that preach the gospel. And I honor churches that worship different than me. When I was not even serving God, real quick, when I wasn't even serving God, I got a letter from different colleges, it wasn't a lot, but I got a few letters for basketball. And I went to a Catholic college in Steubenville, Ohio. And I was not serving God. I went to go check out the university to potentially play basketball from them, a small school. I never had been to a Catholic mass. And I was looking for someone to give me weed. It's all right. And I remember going to the mass and doing the holy water when I came in. And then I remember kneeling, they had like this thing in front of me, like this little bench thing. You knelt down, you stood up, and I did, you know, that. And they had this guy playing like a ukulele, a college guy, about 700 college students. This tripped me out. Now, I don't know your a belief theological on this, but I believe in this, and we believe in this. And here it goes. He gets up there. He was playing this little folk worship, college students singing. All of a sudden, these kids start raising their hands and start speaking in tongues. I said, what the heck? I'm tripping or something. What's going on in this Catholic church? I was so convicted. I was so convicted that I looked down on a Catholic when I wasn't even living it. And they had more of God in the ukulele folk worship with the holy water and bowing and standing than I had in my whole body. And so we honor people that lift up Jesus. We're never going to disrespect different groups. Man, I bless the Reform group. I bless all the groups. I bless them all. Because, man, we're on the same team, and one day we're going to look in their face forever. They're going to look at our face too. And we're going to say, well, you made it. So I guess you were right. I wonder what in Revelation, when Paul said he had a vision of heaven and he said there was silence. That was in Revelation. And there was silence for a half hour. I think that silence is going to be like, God's going to be like, ah, he's so powerful. And then look over at people and say, ah, how did you get here? I'm not going to be able to say a word for a half hour and then start worshiping forever. I don't know. That may be my speculation. I'm almost done. Notice this, though. He says Jews and Gentiles shall be a part of this family. And then he says, some of you are free and some of you are slaves. He's speaking to social positions and conditions. The Greeks and the Romans at that time in world history were far superior in art, literature, civilization, roads, architecture, structure, far superior. A lot of our English language comes from the Greek language. In that culture and in many other cultures, they had slaves. Paul was speaking physically to a physical reality at that time in the ancient church that as they came together to worship, not only were they different ethnicities, a part of one team, some in the same meeting room were free and some were slaves. Our nation has been tainted with slavery. I think we're still in recovery. All over, north, south, east, west, we're still in recovery. And may our nation be healed and may us truly love each other and come together and move forward as a nation. Sadly, though, as I speak to you right now, the physical truth of slavery is still an epidemic in our world. Do you know right now, they say by the study of different industries and what's going on, particularly in the corner of just the cesspool of humanity, there's more slaves right now than ever before in human history. Do you know, I've been working with agencies. This is why we want to have a campus downtown, to have an outreach center, to have daily outreaches, partnering with different agencies. I'm doing this right now. We're doing this right now as a church. We're partnering with them to see what we can do. I just shed a couple of things real quick. Do you know right now in our neighboring county of Brown County, right now sex trafficking is at an all-time high. Do you know in Bloomington, Indiana, right now, sex trafficking is at an all-time high? Majority of young girls are being sold by their drug-induced parents so that they could have another high. That's happening today in this moment as I'm preaching. This is why the church must be the church. This is why we have to embrace being one team. This is why we don't have time to splinter over nonsense when souls are in the balance and people may be right next to us that we have no idea. Girls going to school, it's amazing of their strength to even function and yet being sold off like this. So today, sadly, this statement is still true physically. There's free and slaves, but we're the same under the Spirit of Jesus. Spiritually, even more so, this is true. Some in this room and online, you say, I'm free. You know, PD, I feel free today. I'm free in my spirit. God has set me free. I feel good. I'm moving forward. Man, that's awesome. Others of us in this room and online, we feel enslaved to addiction. We feel enslaved to anger, enslaved to lust, enslaved to gambling, enslaved to habits, enslaved to patterns, enslaved to poverty, enslaved to failure, enslaved. And what's beautiful about this is that Jesus never looks at you and I and says, well, you're too in bondage to be a part of my team. He welcomes all of us, whether we're free or bound, and he says, when you receive me, you are on my team. I love that today. So I'm speaking to some of you. I know many of you, like myself, have been molested. Many of you are bound with different elements of life right now. And what's profound about this is that when you receive Jesus, he receives you, he accepts you, he wants you, and then he has the power to set you free. It may take time, it may take moments, it may take days, it may take years, but he will set you free. And what's amazing is that we should never look down on each other when in truth, all of us in this room and online, all of us are carrying something and we're bringing it to God. For example, some of us are carrying the struggle of addiction. Some of us are carrying the struggle of fear. Some of us are carrying the taint and the sting of racism. Some of us are carrying pride. Some of us are carrying who knows what, abuse, and we're carrying it. But here's the beautiful thing. We can give it to Jesus, and Jesus takes the very handicap of our life, and he turns it around for our good, and we're a part of the team. You're not rejected today. You're accepted today. You made the cut. You made the team. Say, man, I'm struggling today. I came in high. You're on the team. I'm still dealing with something 20 years ago. You're on the team. I'm still doing this. You're on the team. Well, if you got the, some people come along and say, well, if you got Jesus, then you wouldn't do that anymore. Joker, I got Jesus and I'm still working on myself. Let's be honest. All of us have something. So because of this slave and free, you and I cannot allow elitism to plague us. We can't allow pride to block us. We can't allow our issues to stop us. In closing today, will you be a part of God's team? Many of you are. Others of you have trepidation, or maybe you are, but there's attachments coming against you. Insecurities, fear, self-preservation, limitation, who knows, religion, other things, I don't know. And Jesus wants you to be a part of the team. In my closing moments, I want to say two things that secular psychologists are saying about the human condition to verify the Bible. And then I want to tell you a story. Secular psychologists have said, more so in the last few years, they've expanded the basic need of every human. It used to be 5. Now it's 8. And the additions of the 3 they added to the list, here's 2 of them. Every human being has the need of self-actualization, meaning every human has the need of finding fulfillment and having the sense of making a difference. Every human has that buried on the inside of them. They want a sense that their work career is making a difference. When people lose that, they give up all boundaries and restraint. But when people have purpose and they sense they're making a difference, they get up with something more than just a paycheck. They sense there's something beyond them. Jesus is the greatest fulfillment of our lives, folks. Jesus has made you and I to make a difference. And we don't have to be uber talented. We don't have to be a superstar. We don't have to be this person that has all the great ability. All we got to do is just give our lives to Jesus. And after we give our lives to Jesus, we give him, for me, I gave him my stuttering as a child. I gave him all the abuse of my life. I gave him all the people that died in my life. I've given him my addiction. I gave him, listen, I didn't have a lot to give. I just gave him just some. C student. A class clown. No one saw me. The teachers probably were glad I left. But God saw something in me. And God sees something in you. And it's self-actualization that God wants. All these secularists are just proving the Bible. And God is reaching for you. Then the other one is every human being has the need of transcendence. Now they would call it spirituality. In fact, they do call it spirituality, and they even have in their definition spirituality of a higher power. I believe that higher power, his name is Jesus, and he is the answer for the world today. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is not an option on the totem pole of deities. He is altogether lovely. He is God and God alone. He is to be worshipped and adored. He's the Son of God, and He revealed the Father to the world. And you and I can be a part of the team and have transcendence completed in us. Will you be a part of the team? Come on, lay down church hurt, and that's a big one. Lay down life hurt. Lay down any inhibition and look up to God and say, God, I'm yours. And see what God can do in you. The power of a team. We asked this young lady if we could use her story. She came to IU as a freshman. After already in high school, losing her mother. During her first year of high school, her father passed away too. She has many siblings. All of them were away. She was alone. One was here with her. In essence, because both parents were gone, she was in a sense an orphan, in a sense, even though she had a system of a family, but all of them were raising their own families in, maybe 2 to 3 hours away or an hour away. And she mentioned how when she came, she got into a group, and ladies in the Lord began to disciple her, speak into her life, and talk with her, and comfort her, and be with her. I remember my mom and dad taking her to several lunches, and just being a parent figure to her, showing her kindness and love and time. Today, she's thriving in her professional career. She's moving forward in her faith. She's a great leader. She's vivacious in her personality and moving forward in her life. She mentioned how it was the team around her that helped her through her weakest and darkest moment. And she's still in process. It's not over yet. But she has a team. Now they say it takes a village to raise a child. If you got a child, can someone say, I got 4 of them. I need a big village. Help me, somebody. But I believe it takes a village to get through life too. There's something about it. And when you and I embrace the team of Jesus, sure, it's imperfect. Oh yes, we're imperfect. You're imperfect. We're going to miss it. We're going to not connect. We're going to misunderstand each other. We're going to vote different. We're going to think different. We're going to get on each other's nerves. We're going to, and we're going to just be like, ah, but we're not here based on if people do us good. We're here based on who is good. And who is perfect, and that is Jesus. And you can say amen better than that on that point, because that's a good one. We're not here based on what someone does or doesn't do, because we're always going to miss it. We're here based on who He is, and we're a part of His team. If you believe in this Jesus, give Him a great hand clap of praise. He's worthy today. He's a worthy God. He's a worthy God. Please stand to your feet in this moment, and you would say today, Pastor Dave, what's my next step? What do I do next? You online, please lean in right now. You in this room, lean in on this. What's your next step? If you have not received Jesus, today is your day to receive Christ, to call on the name of the Lord, and you shall be saved. You may not be set free of everything right away, or you may. That can happen, but it doesn't matter. Either way, we're somebody to Jesus, and we're all equal at the foot of Jesus. Just because I'm a pastor, it's my goal. I'm never going to preach down at you. I'm never going to talk down to you. Man, I need Jesus just like you. Ask my wife. She'll tell you. We're all in this together. If you haven't received Jesus today. Specifically to City Church, your next steps here, what we've set up for you is, if you haven't gone to Build, go to Build. Build is not a hurdle into our church. Build is a bridge to help you come into the life of the church. We want to get to know you. We want to help you. We want to see how God wired you and how we can help you thrive in your faith. So please consider that next month. You can find it out in the lobby on the website or the app. But go to Build. I want to encourage you to go to groups. Take time, and we disciple through groups. And our growth group track, our growth category of groups is phenomenal. Bible studies, Holy Spirit study coming up next Sunday night. All this stuff is designed to help you and I move forward in our faith. Think about joining the dream team. being a part of the team, seeing what God can do through you. And this is not to manipulate. I believe God's trying to get something through us because we're a part of a team. So right now in this moment, bow your head to heaven. Bow your heart, if you would. And you would say today, Pastor Dave, I've never received Jesus in my life. I've never once called on the name of the Lord to be my Savior. And or I have, but I'm far from God in this moment and I want to receive Jesus. If that's you today and you want to receive Christ for the first time or come back to God, both are biblical, and yet Jesus is the remedy for either one of those positions. And if that's you in this room and online right now, go ahead and raise your hand to heaven and receive Jesus as your Savior. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, good, thank you, thank you, thank you, good, thank you. So many people, awesome, so many people. Come on, give God a great hand clap. So many people, I see those hands. Thank you so much. Now, one more thing as your head is bowed. How many say, Pastor Dave, you'd say, man, you know, I know what God's given me. I feel a sense, but I have trepidation to be a part of the team. Others of you would say, man, I feel God leading me, but I'm just scared. Or others would say, I don't even know what to do about the team, but I want God to give me my place. I want God to give me a place of strength and support. I want God to give me a place to fit in. If that's you today and you want support in this, go ahead and raise your hand to heaven. I want to pray for you all over this room. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you. You fit in. You belong to us. You belong to God, rather. All of us belong to Him. We're a part of something together. Follow me in this prayer, and please, no one be left out. Say, Lord Jesus, my heart is yours, and I run to you. Please forgive me for anything that's wrong. I run to you. Change my life. I am yours. Through the Holy Spirit, open my heart to your team. I receive my place. I give what I have. I'm yours in Jesus' name.